Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your people afresh, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I missed all of you last week, but I did get to go up with Jody to Cashiers, North Carolina. It's not Cashiers. If you say Cashiers, they know you're not from local. But it's Cashiers, North Carolina, and spent a week up there in the mountains with the girls. And it was fun. It was a great time. And yeah, we didn't take Jake because Jake had to go to school. So anyway, he can explain that to you. So Jake's first experience of being home alone. So, but it was a great time for us, except for being worried about Jake. We had a great time. One day, we had the whole gamut. It was, I lost my track there thinking about Jake being home, but we had great weather. You know, it was nice and sunny, and then it got kind of rainy, and then it snowed on us, which was fabulous, and then actually ended up getting nice again by the end of the weekend. So it was a great time to be up in the mountains and stuff. And one of the things I've started doing again in the last year or so is to begin running, and that's actually where the Garys are. Susie's running in the marathon down at Disney, but I'm not a marathoner. I'm not that kind of a guy, but I like to get out and run 3 or 4 miles and enjoy doing that. And I had this sort of idea that I would find a place to run while I was in the mountains. And it just didn't happen the first couple of days. Then I was told that there was a lake not far from Cashiers where I could go. And there was like a trail that ran through the woods and around this big mountain lake. And so I headed out. It was a rainy day, but I thought, I don't know what the future holds. I'm going to try to get out there and run. So I got out, and it was late afternoon. Probably should have started out earlier in the day, but anyway, I didn't. Got the car parked, got my, ready to go, and I start running, and it starts to feel like it's getting darker. You know that sense where you don't really know exactly when sundown is, and, it's late afternoon, and it's starting to rain a little bit more. And so that was a little concerning to me because I've never been on this path. But I break out of the entry path, and get out, and sure enough, there's a beautiful mountain lake. Big rock-faced mountain in the background, with the evergreen trees all over it, and wild Canada geese. I heard they're not called Canadian geese, they're Canada geese, fly up, and kind of, it was one of these, so it was just a great experience, and I'm running along, and then all of a sudden I noticed that along the path, as it gets into the woods again, there are all these, I wouldn't call them puddles. They're like little tiny lakes where the path has begun to flood. And so I'm running, and then I'm easing around the puddles. And then I'm running again, and I'm leaping over puddles and trying to keep my brand-new running shoes dry and sort of getting myself to the run, but at the same time trying to keep the good shoes good, And so I make it around about the first quarter, and still, I'm still avoiding these puddles and things like that. So, it's not perfect, but so I round the lake, the next section, the second quarter, and it's worse than the first quarter. I've hit bigger puddles, and now it places I'm literally inching around the puddle, and then I'm running, and then I'm inching around the other side, and just not exactly what I had in mind. And all the time, I'm sort of going, if I ran back, I've still got some experience of the lake, and I've gotten some experience of the run, but it wasn't exactly what I intended for. And finally, I got to a point where it was just inevitable. I was either going to get my running shoes wet, it's raining harder, it's getting a little darker now, or I can turn back. And I just said, Jody says, don't miss what you can't make up. I thought, when am I going to get to come out here and run again? So I'm just going to go for it. So needless to say, the shoes got wet. I look like a Nike commercial. I'm wet from my red Nike shirt I'm wearing is just all wet, and I'm just running. I just gave myself reckless abandonment to this run and got really soaking. As I finished that second quarter, didn't turn back, the path began to turn up and move away from the lake a little bit. And I'm worried because I'm thinking I've missed the path. I'm on the wrong path. But no, I wasn't on the wrong path. I was on the right path. And I went up this hill and around the bend. And that third quarter was spectacular. It ends up at the top of a waterfall. And a little bridge and the waterfall there. And, you know, it wasn't that dark. You know, it began to lighten up and everything. And needless to say, the second half of the run was incredible. And if I had missed it, I would have missed the waterfall. I'd missed running up into the kind of the woods and around and then back down. And then the fourth quarter of this trail was actually a part of this camp that's out in North Carolina. And so it was like a gravel, but not a hard gravel, a real powdery gravel road. Very smooth, easy. And, you know, and I would have, in other words, I would have hiked back through all these puddles and all this, you know, all this work, get back, and I'd have missed all the rest of it. But I came to that crucial point where I had to kind of make a decision. Was I just going to, you know, just throw myself into it no matter what? If I was out there in the dark and if I was having to stumble home or if I was soaking wet or if I got a cold or whatever happened, if I kept going, if I was just going to plow on, just throw myself into the run, or if I was going to hold back and turn back and go back. Now, I could stand up here and I could tell you about running in the mountains and I could keep all these details from you, and you wouldn't know the difference, right? But I would know, because I wouldn't have experienced all that there was on this run that I can come and tell you. I can tell you that I was, to use the word, I was baptized in this run. I was immersed in it. I was literally covered in part of the lake that was up in these paths, and the sweat and the dirt and all that other stuff. But I had given myself to it, and as a result, I had experienced all that was intended. And I can live to tell about it and hopefully get to go back there one day and run it again in some drier conditions. Well, the scriptures lay out for us today, in a real way, in a spiritual sense, the very thing that my run illustrates. Paul is in Acts, is met this group of Christians, their disciples, he calls them, at Ephesus, which is a city in Asia Minor. And these Christians have not had the full experience. They've not gone all the way around the lake. They've not been baptized in all that God has for them. And as Paul begins to question them, he begins to ask them questions. He says, "Well, you were baptized. Into whose name were you baptized? Whose baptism were you baptized?" And these Christian disciples can say, "Well, we were baptized into the baptism of John." And John, the same John that we have in the gospel, the Mark reading I just did, John is coming saying, "Repent. Turn away from the way you were going. Recognize that you have a spiritual need. Recognize that you need God's forgiveness." And that was their understanding. And so they believed God had sent John to tell them that. And so they were baptized and they had repented of their sins. But Paul asked this question about the Holy Spirit. And what do the people at Ephesus say? We don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. They've been baptized in water. They had repented of their sins. And yet they were missing this whole aspect of what it meant, what God had for them. Now, I don't think this is like a test. I don't think Paul's trying to catch them and trying to show them that they're doctrinally wrong or that they're missing a piece, or he wants to school them on what it means, you know, that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we worship him. And there's, you know, he's not trying to give them a Sunday school lesson to explain about the Trinity. For Paul, it's not theoretical, it's experiential. In other words, Paul has experienced something, like I experienced that run. Paul has gone all the way around the lake. He's been baptized into something that he wants to make sure that these disciples at Ephesus know about. And it's the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't surprise us. John, who came telling people to be baptized, and baptized Jesus, which happens right here in Mark 1, we just read. But John says, he says, "I baptize you with water, but he who's coming after me whom I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it's this whole aspect of our life in Christ, what it means to be a Christian, that oftentimes we miss. We can be like those Ephesians. We've repented. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. We've been obedient as far as we know. And yet we don't recognize that that's not all there is. It's not just something that we do. Christianity is not about you and me working and trying to do our best for God. It's about God doing his best for us. Jesus and Paul and John the Baptist remind us in the lessons today that the Spirit of God, the very Spirit that in your Old Testament lesson, the lesson from Genesis 1, the Spirit that's hovering over the earth, that's there at creation, that Spirit comes to dwell in us. That we get baptized into the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit literally gets baptized into us. I only think of one movie illustration of what that looks like. If you saw Spider-Man 3, you know, you weren't expecting that, I know. But when the evil Spider-Man thing, the black stuff that gets on Spider-Man, it covers him up and then it goes down his throat and goes actually into him. That's a bad example, but in a sense, that's sort of what happens with the Holy Spirit. We get immersed in the Holy Spirit, but then the Spirit gets immersed in us. And we get saturated. See, when you're talking about the word, okay, but if you've seen the movie, you got the point, right? If you haven't seen the movie, it's worth watching. All Spider-Man movies are worth watching. But be careful when you hear the word baptism, because sometimes it's talking about literal, being dunked in water or being baptized, and sometimes it's this more figurative way of thinking of it, that we are immersed, that we are saturated, that we are literally immersed in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is immersed in us. And that's what Paul has experienced. The fullness of being in Christ and knowing God's Spirit having come and dwelled in us. It's really hard. As a matter of fact, a lot of times in the New Testament, there are references to things like speaking in tongues and prophesying, which is what happens to the people at Ephesus in Acts 19, and other things that are real dramatic and outgoing, because it's hard to put into words what exactly it feels like when you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But if you have been, you know it. And there's not a It's not a checking off of a box or a proper method or doing this or that. It's something you know. If you've believed on Jesus and God has filled you with his Spirit, you know it. And he almost, it's like electrifying in your body, in your mind, in your heart. It's joy when things should be upsetting to you. It's a peace that passes understanding, Paul will say. And at times, I think that the Spirit of God actually gives us these outward signs, like speaking in an unknown language or ability to pray for somebody and see them be healed, or to speak a prophetic word and it really be right. You know, you're thinking, where did that come from? I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, I just said this to this person and they're like, wow, that makes sense. And that is those times, those outward signs that the Spirit's in us, that the Holy Spirit is working in us. I think the outward signs really are just the easier ways for us to know that it's not just us, that it's actually God in us. Jesus said it. He said himself in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he said, in a few days, you know, you will receive the baptism. Well, actually, back up. He says, John baptized you in water. Jesus speaking in the beginning of Acts. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in a few days by the Holy Spirit. I blew that. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in not many days from now. It was a little translation. Jesus talked about those who believe on him being literally filled, saturated with the Spirit. And Paul will go on to say, if the Spirit is not in us, we're not His children. We've not been made new. We've not been made God's children if the Spirit doesn't live in us. Sometimes it's not that the Spirit's not in you. If you've believed, the Spirit's there. It's just you've not allowed Him to be released. You've not just said, have your way in my life. But the Spirit is there. It's the Spirit that comes and fills us. It's pretty interesting. 30 years ago, when people talked about this kind of stuff, it was very controversial. It was a guy, I picked up a book when I was up in the mountains with Jody, 50-cent book. Jody was spending lots more money than me, but I was at the thrift store spending 50 cents on a book by a guy named Dennis Bennett. That's right, she was stimulating the economy. And this guy, Dennis Bennett, was an Episcopal priest, and he'd been an Anglican, and he'd come to America, or his father had come to America. And he talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was pretty controversial. You either were churches that were open to that kind of stuff, or you weren't, and you knew pretty much whether were you going into it. But it's because the church had gotten to a place where it had really stopped to really think about, what does it mean that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit? And yet it's all over the Scriptures. The book of Acts is full of it. Everyone that receives, the Samaritans, Paul, the disciples on the day of Pentecost, the Gentile believers, it says when they believed that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then there's this experience of the Holy Spirit. Not just a theory, but they know it. Paul's been around the lake. He knows where the waterfall is. He knows the beauty. He knows the joy. He knows the power and the presence of God when His Spirit comes to live in us. And he wants that for the Ephesians. Because you're missing out if you're not getting the full thing, the full experience. And that's why he comes asking them, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? The same Spirit that's present in creation comes to live inside of us with the same creative power that the Spirit of God had at creation is at work in us. You feel defeated? You feel like you're stuck spiritually? You feel like you can't quite comprehend? I'm not sure what to do next? Quit trying. Start asking. Asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and to give you wisdom and to give you understanding and to help you grow and to help you overcome whatever it is that's in your life. Our part is to recognize our need. That's sort of the baptism of John, if you will, the repentance, the recognition. Jesus came and he got baptized by John. We just read that because he wanted to identify with us, with our humanity, with our sinful need, with our brokenness, with our failure as humans. But he also came to baptize us with his Spirit, to immerse us in his Spirit, that the Spirit of God might have his creative power at work in us, filling us with his joy and his life. That's God's part, to respond and to fill us. So have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been immersed in the Spirit? Do you know that for you, being a Christian is more than just a head knowledge. It's something you've experienced. You've accepted God's invitation, and He's filled you. I don't think, again, I want to be clear. I don't think Paul's trying to catch the Ephesians and say, you're not really Christians because you didn't have this happen. He wants them to experience all that there is to experience. And knowing the joy of the Spirit's work in our lives, for Paul, is to really have gone all the way around the lake and to see all that you can see and to be all that you can be. I thought of a way of explaining it, not a movie analogy this time, but when the kids were little, Jody and I, we had three children under the age of 5. Jake was 5, Charlie was 3, and Samantha was 1. All right? Craziness, I know, but we were, and there were times where the house got a little out of control, as you can imagine, with 3 under the age of 5. And there were some folks who would come along us, people at our church in Jacksonville, and say, "Let us help you. Let us do some things to help you." You know, and so we would let them, begrudgingly, we would let them, you know, do a load of laundry or help clean the kitchen up or maybe work in the yard or something. And we would let them help us a little bit. Finally, these group of ladies from All Souls showed up and said, "We want your house. Let us help you. Let us clean your house. Let us do this for you." And we had to decide if we would sort of abandon our house to them and let them really do their work, or if we would continue to say, "Well, you can help a little bit here, a little bit here." And let me tell you, the day came, we literally handed them the keys and we went off. I don't know where we went, but we went off someplace. And these ladies went to work. And they went into the house and they cleaned. And it took us months to make the house as dirty as they had had it. As they had got it so clean. It was an amazing work that they did in the house. And I use that as an example to say that is how different it is when we allow the Spirit to have His work in us. That's what it means to really be filled. In a lot of the sense of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God is in you. But have you said, "Here's the keys, Lord. Here, take the house. Clean it. Have your way." Jesus says in Luke that if we seek, we'll find. If we ask, that He will give us. And in Luke, it actually says He will give us the Holy Spirit. "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children," Luke says, or on the lips of Jesus, "then how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him?" Acts has lots of opportunities, like I said, about talking about the Holy Spirit, but I like Acts 13:52 because it reminds us that we have to be filled not once, but often. It says that the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So the question is, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the Spirit's work in your life? That's how you know you're His, because you know His Spirit is alive and at work in you. You've been around the lake. You've experienced all that God has for you. If not, then ask. If you're afraid to ask, or if you've tried to ask and you feel as if you've not received, then ask other people to pray for you. I don't know why, but sometimes we need to ask others to pray for us that we would receive the Holy Spirit. We do. God is faithful. He will give. He will fill us. And we will know, we will experience all that He has intended for us. Not halfway around the lake with dry shoes, but saturated, filled up, to overflowing. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for all of us. Gracious Father, Lord, I pray that we would understand more and more this baptism in the Holy Spirit, that we would understand what it means to experience the fullness of God, that You, Lord, not only know we are spiritually needy, but You actually come and live and work in us to make us into the image of Your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would just come now and just immerse us, Lord. Just fill us. Give us joy and peace and power and a wisdom that comes from You, Lord, that we might know everything that Paul wanted for those Ephesians, that we might experience it too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.